We're going through Titus, but not today. I set this service aside quite a while ago to try and have one of our partner ministries take this service, but I failed to do that. It didn't work out for our partner organizations to be here today. And so I'm going to do a little piece of Ephesians. And actually, as I've been working on this, I'm absolutely convinced that someone needs to hear this. That God was in this, though I failed to, whatever, get one of our ministry partners here. I think he really does have something that we need to hear today. And somebody particularly needs to hear this. Someone specifically needs to hear what God wants to say through Ephesians. Now, a few weeks ago, we had on Thanksgiving, did Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, talked about Jesus making us alive as well as advancing, not just one or the other. But today, we're going to do the next piece of Ephesians chapter 2. There won't be anything coming up on the screen. I don't know, there was a glitch in my PowerPoint. Had some cool slides in there, but that's okay. There will be nothing coming up on screen. Hopefully you've got your physical Bibles here present. You can look up Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at 11 to 22, the verses that follow those. We looked at alive and advancing. We're going to look at three other words that start with A, because alliteration is truly godly. No, I just like it, because I can remember it easier. I don't know what night it was. We watch the movies sometimes off of PureFlix, like Netflix, only not as much dodgy stuff on there. We watched a movie of a professional cricket player from South Africa. Incredibly godly man, striving to really live for Christ, recognized that as good as he was, one of the best in the history of South Africa, apparently, cricket player. And as good as he was at that, he never let that become his life. It wasn't why he existed. He existed to please God and become the leader that God wanted him to be. And he single-mindedly and incredible, the things he would not compromise on. And I won't give all of the story away, but over time, some people put incredible pressure on him. And over time, he did compromise. We hear of other Christian leaders in our day who have compromised. What's going to stop us from compromising, right? Nobody gets up in the morning and go, I'm going to completely blow my life today by this great big mistake. Well, I don't know, maybe there is somebody on the planet, but most of us don't get up like that, right? Oh, man, what's the way I can completely derail, wreck my marriage, my job, all of this all in one fell swoop with a really dumb decision? Nobody gets up like that. Compromise doesn't just happen way over there with a great big incident, right? Listen, whatever age we're at, we're going to face pressures like that guy in the movie. The enemy of our souls wants us to compromise and turn aside to the right or to the left. He doesn't care which way you go as long as you're not wholeheartedly following Christ. And compromise starts with a little bit. Justify this in this area of life. Oh, I'll never get near that bad, we say. Compromise is a step and a step. And a little step, and at some point we're going, how did I get here? How did I get here? Join me in prayer, because God has some solutions here in this passage, and we need to hear them. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. We've been singing that. You are the Creator. You are the lover of our souls. You are the one who sacrificed for us that we could be in right relationship. We could live what we are created for. Would you teach us here this morning and help us apply what we learn? I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. This passage, Ephesians 2:11-22, is a common theme. We're one in Christ. He's speaking to believers here. If you don't know Jesus yet, I encourage you to listen and go, what's different about my life than those who are followers of Jesus? And as we walk through this, I'm going to go through three terms, through three words that start with A. The first several verses, the biggest part of this, is we've been accepted. And this can absolutely change our lives, knowing that we're accepted. We have access to Almighty God. He's not annoyed when we come to ask Him for something. We have complete access to Him. And we can grow in how we abide with Him. We live with Him and He with us. Let's look at accepted. First verses, starting at verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, so there's a differentiation here, but remember the whole title is one in Christ, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And we've already talked about God has already worked through many Gentile individuals throughout Old Testament. He's given all those that will come to faith, right? Some of them joined Israel physically. Others, like Melchizedek, just comes shooting in there from somewhere. God's revealed Himself to them. But they're not part of the common journey yet, he's saying here. But it goes on. The next verse, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We've been singing about that. What He's done on the cross that gains this for us. For He Himself is our peace, the passage continues, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself, this is in Jesus, one new man or new mankind in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. He's brought us through the cross, through the offense of the cross. He's brought us and made one people. We're either followers of Christ or we're not. That's the dividing line. It's not how, whatever, denominational, it's whatever else. We're accepted in Christ. And all believers by faith, right? Even Abraham, it was what he did by faith. And it's always been that way. It's just really, really clear in what Jesus has done. I am accepted in Christ. Personalize that. I am accepted in Christ. Not when we're perfect. Not when we get it this much right. Right now. Accepted. Accepted in Christ. It's our identity as believers. We have a new identity. That one doesn't define us. The enemy wants to define us by it. But we aren't. We're not defined by that. We're defined by having been washed by the blood of Jesus. And we're accepted. Fully accepted. That can transform somebody's life. And it's a core need. When I was in seminary, talking about counseling process and what... How to get right at what the core of someone is dealing with. We act out of things that are driving us on the inside. Two words kept coming up. Are we secure? We're truly secure in our new identity, in our rightful identity, having been accepted by Christ. And significant. Do we know what we do matters? That belonging You know, we sing just as I am. We used to more often. Just as I am. That's how we come to Christ. Not because I got something great to offer Him. Because He accepts us. And God accepts Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. And we get to participate in that. We get fully accepted. Just as I am. But I find even as Christians, we're trying to come as a little bit more than we are. We're believing we're not quite as accepted as someone else. And there's that comparing game going on. And it's not a game, it's just a travesty. And it hinders our growth. This is a wonderful, powerful truth. We can rest secure. We are accepted. Rest. Come to me, all who you are weary and burdened. We can burden ourselves as Christians trying to earn something. I'm already accepted. I'm His son. I'm His daughter. And there's a world that needs to know this. Can we do that same thing just as I am? What if somebody walks in here and looks way different, sounds way different, smells way different than we are right now? Can we accept them just as they are and journey with them before we demand that they change and look like us? A lot of churches struggle with that. I pray we don't, but I know we will. Can we accept like we've been accepted just as I am? Be in relationship, walking. Convinced there's some people here really struggling today with their identity and knowing that they're accepted right where they're at. Or maybe they're not here, but we're in relationship with them. Whether they're followers of Jesus or not, to know this truth that they can be or have been accepted as they are. Now, this isn't permission to continue in a foolish lifestyle, but to be completely accepted where you're at. I get you're on journey. This is the first part of understanding and entering into relationship with God, being accepted by Him on His terms. And the world around us, individuals, people we're in relationship need to know this. But unless we're growing in that understanding of our identity and are secure, being secure in Him, we'll have a hard time passing that on. The next few verses discuss, or next verse, really, that we have access to Almighty God. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him both have access in one Spirit to the Father. I had some cool pictures of the temple on my slideshow and whatever else, of the curtain. If you are a Christian, you too have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You do not need an intermediary or a priest, another person. You have unobstructed access to God. With that access come all the resources you need to face any circumstance. We're singing it. Jesus is enough. It's fun to sing, right? It's a whole new matter to experience it in the moments of life, in the challenges of life. He is sufficient, really? It takes active relationship, but we have access to Him 24/7, and He's providing what we need if we will receive it, if we will ask. When you are afraid, you have access to God's peace that passes understanding, Philippians 4. When you have a broken relationship, you have access to the God of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5. When you meet someone in need, you have access to God's provision for that person. You realize He does that? Every follower of Jesus, He flows through us and ministers to them. And you're in relationship with them, not for some useless reason, but for the purposes of God in their life. And He's giving you something that that person needs. What an incredible privilege to be entrusted with That relationship, that kind of access to Almighty God. And move other people towards the kingdom of heaven. There's a powerful picture in the scriptures of this kind of access. There's a veil of separation in the Old Testament, in the temple. This huge curtain. God put the temple curtain there for the safety of his people. For no one can enter into the Holy of Holies, right? The temple had the outer court, inner court, most inner court, and then the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was set back there, this huge curtain there. And only the high priest could go behind that, only once a year, after they had spent time cleansing themselves and going through the rituals, understanding how holy God is and how separate from sin he is. And even then, he'd go in with a rope tied around his waist, just in case he went in there sinfully or did something wrong in there. It's not like God was waiting to kill him, but if he went in there trusting in himself instead of God, not by faith, and he would die as a result, they could drag him out because nobody else could go in and get him or they would be put to death. But he protects his people. And the veil represents the separation of a holy God from a sinful humankind. Because our sins have separated us from God, Isaiah 59. The size and thickness of the curtain ensured no one could accidentally fall into the Holy of Holies. The veil was 60 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 1 inch thick. So massive, it took a whole group of priests to hang it up there. And they were building it. You couldn't accidentally stumble into this. I think we've lost the sense of the holiness of God. It's one of the key things the Old Testament's trying to teach us. How separate God is, and how set apart his people need to be. Yes, we're accepted, and we become different. We are set apart for him, no longer living for ourselves. We need that to gain that sense of holiness, reverence, awe, respect, healthy fear of Almighty God. And to him, we have access. We have access. Because his body is a picture that was torn. Jesus' own body was given as an atonement for our sins, and his death satisfied the wrath of God. What was due to us, he took because he paid a debt he did not owe, for a debt we could never pay. The flesh of Jesus' body was literally torn, as in Isaiah writes. Many were astonished at you. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. You could hardly recognize him as a man. I won't get into all the gory details there. There's a reason. He was crucified with two other men, and they came along and broke their legs to make sure that they were dead. But even those that opposed the early church and Jesus' teaching, nobody was saying he wasn't really dead. It was obvious at the time he was dead. He was almost dead before he arrived at the cross. And that tearing of his flesh, there's a picture, and then when he dies, there's a tearing of the curtain, this great imposing thing that no one can go past, this limited access. At the very moment when Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit, Matthew 27 I'm reading in, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The curtain was torn at the exact moment of Jesus' death because our separation from God by our sins had been paid for by Jesus on the cross. Temple curtain torn from top to bottom. This is something God has done, God has accomplished, making access for all who will by faith receive his gift of forgiveness and abundant life. All all have access to Almighty God. But no human could possibly tear by human strength. God did by the death of His Son of God. Now we go behind the curtain and have access into the Holy of Holies. It wasn't Jesus' torn flesh that ended our separation from God, but His sinless life and death and resurrection. He's made the way. Now we have confidence, as Hebrews 10 says, to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Do we do that confidently? Do we access Him? It's been made wide open. How often do we actually enter in into relationship with Him? Old song, oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I mean, we can put prayer in a category. This is something I'm supposed to do as a good Christian. No, He's made access so we get to rely on Him. We get to ask Him for help in this way, for leading here, teach me, guide me, change me. All of these things that we desperately need. And we go, meh, kind of used to it. I'll just enter into this day without prayer. What arrogance. Wonder Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We come and we go, I need you today, God. And I have access. Thank you for that. I'm going to take advantage of that access. I'm going to fully enter in to what you've made possible. I'm accepted, and I access what He's opened up. And this passage goes on. There's an abiding here. The last few verses. So then, you who are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple. What's the structure being built here? It's the church. We are the church. It's the people involved being built into a whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. It's not an old building. It's living. He's living. We are the temple of the Lord, Holy Spirit. In Him, you also are being built together. It's not just one of us. It's us together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. A dwelling place. Jesus just doesn't want to come for a visitation. He wants to come for a habitation, to dwell with us constantly. It's way different, right? A lot of us live our Christian lives like, oh yeah, I'm really engaged with Jesus here, and then you go home, thanks for visiting, I've got what I need for a time, I'll live on my own now. No, it's a habitation, constantly abiding with us, taking up residence, a dwelling place for God by the Spirit of God. Abiding in Christ. This is something I said at the beginning. Someone specific needed to hear this. You're looking at him. Bethany and I, when we moved our family down here 4 years ago, it was busy. I love being busy. I'm sure we did 19 funerals in the first 19 months that we lived here. It's busy, and God sustains through those seasons, but I let it become a new way of life to where I wasn't spending my time abiding in Him, receiving what He wanted to give me as His Son, and I'm so slow to get it that even preparing for this message wasn't enough. The coaching call that I do once a week now, a church renewal, the whole conversation right now is on this. How do we abide in Christ? Because none of these do we arrive and we've got enough. It's an ongoing journey. To start there, where am I accepted? And to be growing in that security in Christ. And accessing what He's opened up Do I access that regularly? And learning to abide. These are all, they're not ever done. I'm growing and growing and growing. And I've been challenged, what's my own prayer life like? I've been really challenged, because though, you know, I can have a regular devotional time, whatever else, but is it really feeding my soul? Do I substitute it sometime with preparation? Or am I just receiving from God for myself? My hunch is I'm not the only one that slips into these seasons and fails to recognize I'm in a different season now. He sustains me through a real busy season, and I somehow think, that's enough time spent with God for regular life. And he's going, no, I've got so much more I want to give you and bless you with. Will you spend some more time with me, either in the morning or whenever else? You know where I've really blown it the biggest? Would be in a day of Sabbath. Compromise there. I'll take a regular day of Sabbath. A day set apart to God where I'm receiving from Him. Get busy doing this, doing that. Good stuff. But if I'm not abiding in Him, then what am I inviting others to do? Live a real busy life? Or a life truly in the Spirit and in Christ? Accepted. Do we really hear it? How accepted we are? And are we helping others understand they too can be accepted, or they are if they're believers, encouraging one another with these words, accepted by Almighty God? And access, do we enter it? Sure, we know this. We know these stories. The curtain's been torn. Awesome. How often do we walk in there intentionally? Do we have that time set apart where we access what He's made open and enter it? And then learn to abide, remain, be renewed by Him. Going back to the opening, that character in the movie. One little compromise. Another little compromise. Another little compromise. Have we already compromised? We're not abiding. We're not accessing. We're not growing in our being accepted and secure in Him. We compromised in little things. See, it's not just the leaders out there somewhere. We're all leaders in some capacity, right? Are we failing to lead? Failing to move towards Christ? Are we actively leading our families? Because to the degree we go, well, somebody else is kind of doing it. I'm doing okay personally. Nothing too bad in my family. Are we actively discipling, being discipled ourselves and discipling others? Or are we compromising some? To the degree we compromise, we leave ourselves open to going to the left or to the right rather than really following the lover of our souls who has so much more for us and those around us. So where are you at today? I've been evaluating my life. Do you know you're accepted? If you do, who around you needs to know they're accepted? Who needs encouragement? Are you accessing? You have access, or are you entering it? Regularly, consistently, do you need to sit down and go, boy, I've been rushing my morning times with God. I'm thinking that's enough. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you and go, oh, I want to spend more time with you. I want to spend more time with you. Is that reciprocated? I'd love to spend more time with you too, God. And do we abide, or is He just visiting much? I get into a tough time of life. Yeah, I need you, God. And then we just get in, trusting ourselves. And He's just a visitor, rather than cohabiting with us, remaining. Where are you at? And who are you influencing to walk and grow in these? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this passage. thank you for what you've accomplished and that your work is not done. You are leading us and guiding us, inviting us to grow in relationship with you. Help us understand as believers that we are accepted. And sometimes we understand it best as we try and put it into words and actions, helping someone else understand they are accepted or can be accepted. Help us access your presence and to remain and abide and to grow in you over time, consistently, persistently, intentionally. And not just say, well, nothing's too bad, so I must be okay. How can we follow you most closely and receive what you want to give us? Becoming a dwelling place for God together. Lead us, I pray in your name. Amen.